This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Well, if I said it to the listeners right now, do you think you're confused, Rick, and saying, hang on a second. It's 11 o'clock. I got DCR. Where's Bart and Hahn? What's going on?
I think a lot of people who listen to our show listen to Bart and Hahn. This is a continuation.
Yes, I understand, but this is typically not our hour. So we have taken over the 11 o'clock hour up until noon, and then Bart and Hahn are going to give you an hour, and then it's going to fall back into Greeny and Max and the Michael K show and all that good stuff. But we have extended the show today, taking you all the way until noon.
Yeah, you steal our guests. We steal your hour.
That's right. That's how it works.
So they'll come in. They'll finish up their show, and then the continuity will continue.
But it's kind of like we're taking back what's ours, though, right? We started out with having a three-hour show, and the 11 o'clock hour was one of our hours.
We were just getting rolling during the 11 o'clock hour.
Exactly. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't even know if it's stealing, man. It's just repossessing.
That's true.
We repoed it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like it. All right, I like it too. What do you say we do this? Get into the local football a little bit, the Jets and the Giants, and then in like 8 minutes, we dive into the frenzy, which we promised everybody.
Yeah, let's not put a number on it. Let's just let this thing flow and see what happens.
Just free flowing.
Let's just wing
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Because people are lined up for the frenzy. 800-919-3776 and on Twitter, which is probably the better way this week, at Rothenberg ESPN. So we started the show talking Giants. Let's do Giants a little bit, Jets a little bit, into the frenzy we'll go. And, you know, Chris, if the Giants had won this game 34-3, I think I'd feel a lot better today. Mm. They limped home against a third-string quarterback in Washington. So it's a win. You're 2-7. You have a meaningful game coming up. But it's difficult for me to take a ton of positives from that win yesterday for the Giants.
Yeah, it's frustrating because they gave up a lot of big plays early on in the second half that made that game a lot closer than it had to be, right? I mean, you had the slot wheel to Cam Sims. That was a huge play. You had, you know, Antonio Gibson give him three solid runs to finish off that possession. Ends up being a touchdown for them. And then you had Terry McLaurin break two tackles between Isaac Yiadom and Logan Ryan and take 168 yards to the house. So those are plays that you would hope that the Giants wouldn't give up defensively just based on how we've seen them play throughout the year. But, I mean, I look at that defensive unit, and I look at that as the reason why the Giants actually won that game, because you had five takeaways and you're plus four in the turnover margin. Like, that, to me, is the story of that game yesterday. And Daniel Jones didn't turn the ball over. And he had opportunities to do that, but he didn't. The only turnover the Giants had was the turnover on downs on the first possession. So I'll take that as a win, albeit versus a very bad Washington football team on their backup quarterback. I still take it as a win, and it's a solid step in the right direction for the identity of the team and for Daniel Jones and what we said was an 8-game audition in the second half of this season.
Yeah, I think that's how it's supposed to look. I mean, you got a quarterback going into – I mean, this is his second year, right, under not ideal circumstances.
Just the opposite.
Just the opposite of that. Yeah. New coaching system, new system, everything else. That's what it's supposed to look like. The ability to run the football, play good defense, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, I mean, makes a couple nice throws. And that's what he did yesterday. He managed that game yesterday. And the fact that, I mean, and we talked about this in the first hour, the fact that, because this had Daniel Jones in a nutshell, what we've seen over the last year and a half written all over it. When Cam Curl comes unblocked, hits it from the blind side, that was, you know, scoop and score written all over it.
Could you imagine if that happened? What the day would be like here on 98.7?
No, I know, but that's what we've kind of seen from him, is huge turnovers in big spots that cost you games. And he held on to the football, and you held on for the win. That was a good game, man. And this defense is sneaky good.
Yeah, the defense is good. I mean, especially for expectations, because we all thought that this defense was going to be similar to what it was last year. And, you know, between Williams and Tomlinson and Blake Martinez and Fackrell and Jabril Peppers. Bradbury.
Bradbury
was a great signing. He's a terrific player.
Yiadom's
been
good, too.
We haven't even seen Xavier McKinney yet. He's going to make an appearance in, you know, probably the next month or so. I mean, you do have the foundational pieces for a pretty decent defense moving forward.
I mean, you create turnovers. I mean, believe it or not, I mean, you got 22 sacks, which is pretty damn good. That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest surprise for me, is what this defense looks like. It's night and day, because last year the defense was atrocious. Atrocious, your defense.
But right. The thing I want to see now from this team as a whole and from the defense in particular, Rico, is when you get a lead and you make a team one-dimensional, you keep them down.
Yep.
Like you had a 3-possession lead going into halftime. Like your offense took advantage of the opportunities you created in the first half. You had three takeaways in the first half. You had the Blake Martinez forced fumble. You had the Blake Martinez interception in plus territory at the end of the first half. And you had a muff punt. And the offense was able to put 10 points on the board as a result of those turnovers and keep some points off of the board from Washington. So I just, you know, I would just like to see that team in the second half when you know that you got a team down and you know that they're going to be largely one-dimensional because of what the score is. You keep them down. You don't give them opportunities to get back in that game. That would be my one criticism from a culture standpoint and a learning standpoint that you would like to see this team improve in.
Wouldn't you feel a lot better today if it was 34-3?
Well, it should have been.
I think I would.
You created five turnovers. I mean, that's what you'd like it to become. But that's not where the offense is at yet. It isn't. I mean, you
ran the ball effectively yesterday.
You ran the ball effectively. I mean, you had the one drive. I mean, the drive that led to the Evan Engram touchdown, that was all Alfred Morris. He had 45 yards rushing in that possession, which is great. You ran the ball well. It's just you got to find a way to finish and score points. You only scored 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, bad. Bad. Got to do better. But I guess this is the infancy stages of becoming a better football team.
You feel a lot better about fixing the mistakes after a win than a loss.
Of course.
So I guess that's where that team is at.
Now, remember, this is a Philly team that's a lot different than they were last time. I mean, offensively, their offensive line was a mess, should be healthier.
Philly's getting healthy. They're getting healthy.
They're much healthier than they were when you played them a couple weeks ago on that Thursday night.
Yeah, but their quarterback was still playing sloppy football last time we checked. So we'll see what happens with Carson Wentz and if he can clean up the mistakes. I mean, that's really the only thing that we're waiting for from Philly, because we would agree that they have all the other components that they would need in order to win this division. So, I mean, the good thing about the Giants is you have an opportunity to have a say in that. You know, you felt like you should have won the game on a short week on a Thursday night down in their place. Now they're coming to you. So we'll see what ends up happening. I know the defense will keep them in the game. The defense will give them a chance, because that's just how Joe Judge and Patrick Graham have that unit playing. It's just a matter of what kind of offense are you going to see. Are you going to see the offense that was able to rush the ball for 160 yards, or are you going to see the offense that only scored 3 points in the second half?
What I do like is the offensive line looks like it's really improving as the season's going on. That's a big, important piece for this organization.
Except for maybe when you attempted the flea flicker,
yeah, that wasn't
that
great.
That was a bad job of selling that on the offensive line. Everybody knew that was pass. High hat. Surrounded. Oh yeah, that's pass.
He got the ball back. He was surrounded. They were all the way. Like, they had made their way all the way behind him.
Yeah,
that was crazy. I was like, oh my god, what is this?
By the way, Eagles 3.5-point favorites in this game right now.
Well, I mean, Carson Wentz turns the ball over more than your quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a turnover machine.
And oh, by the way, believe it or not, your team actually is second in the NFL with takeaways.
They somehow get to the quarterback and they turn you over. They play hard. This has to be a placeholder, right? On RJ Bell's pregame.com. The Jets Dolphins spread. This can't be right.
It's gotta be high. I mean, you see what the number is now with the Patriots game?
It's up to 10, right?
Yeah, it's up to 10 now.
So this can't be right then. Because if this is right, you should probably bet your entire life savings on it.
It's got to be what? Is it?
Dolphins minus 3.5 right now.
That's it?
That's what it says.
That can't be right.
It's got to be like, all right, we're not sure. We'll just put 3.5 to hold a spot, right?
If you can find 3.5, you have to bet it immediately.
You'd bet your mortgage on that.
Probably not my mortgage, because I would like to. I mean, if God forbid something crazy happens, I would like to. Still have a
Tua
house.
Looked good yesterday, didn't he?
He looked really good. Both
Way
those quarterbacks
than
look good.
First time
Some
now.
Of the play calling though by Arizona, I don't know what they were doing.
That fourth and inches.
Yeah, fourth and inches, third and one. Like you got one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the league, and he ran the ball great yesterday.
He's awesome.
That Tua had a nice run too yesterday. You know who I find myself rooting for, and I know why, but it's like I get excited when he plays well. Is Teddy Bridgewater.
Because any guy that's come back from catastrophic injury, it's hard not to root for them.
Yeah, but he's back. Like, he's all the way back now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's all the way back. That one run he had yesterday where he's jumping over for a first down. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, he was laying it on the line yesterday. And credit to Matt Rhule, too. They went in there with an aggressive game plan. They had the fake punt, which they converted on.
Yep.
And they had the surprise onside kick, and they missed it by a yard. But, I mean, you like that the coach was aggressive. They went out there trying to win a football game. It wasn't let's just try to keep it close and not be embarrassed. And I like that. They had a chance in that game.
No, they competed.
They really did.
They competed.
Yeah.
Absolutely they did. All right, you guys ready for the frenzy?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, Santi.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
All right, let's go with the frenzy. 800-919-3776 on the Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. Let's start with Anthony in Jersey. Anthony, no salutations. Get right to it. You're on the frenzy. Go.
So it looks like Christian McCaffrey separated his shoulder yesterday. Do I bench him for the year, or do you think he's coming back?
Well, why would you bench him for the year? I mean, let's wait and see.
I would go game by game. Wouldn't
if he's going to play. Yeah. I mean, are you in a league where you need to make a decision on the year right now? No, I would. I think we would wait on things.
How about him as a GM?
Yeah.
Cut him.
Separate his shoulder. You're done. You're going to move on from you. Let's go.
Long-term IR. He's out.
Let's go to Corey, Long Island. Corey, you're next up on the frenzy.
It's Tua time in Miami. Are the Dolphins making a serious run at the division?
Yes.
No. Division? Yes. This year? Yeah. No. Yeah.
Okay, you say it, Dave. I don't think that's the case. I mean, that was a close ball game that they played with Buffalo earlier this season. I would not be surprised if the Dolphins are in the hunt for the division.
Wow. I would love it. I like when Miami is good, but I would say this is Buffalo's division this year. Future, I'm not going to say that.
There's still a little piece of me that doesn't fully trust Josh Allen yet. He played great yesterday, but
he was unbelievable yesterday.
He was unbelievable, but there was how many games where he wasn't?
Exactly.
Right. That's a huge win for Miami. I mean,
huge.
They're decimated at the running back position, going up against a team that has a really good defense off of a bye. Two in his second start.
I'm just saying, next four games for Miami, the Chargers, at the Broncos, at the Jets, Cincinnati. That's the next four games.
Let me digest it. Give it to me
again. That's 3-1. 3-1 at the worst, you'd imagine.
Yeah. Chargers at home.
Right.
On the road against the Broncos. On the road against the Jets. At home against Cincinnati.
Wow.
You mean to tell me they don't have a shot going into December? Come on.
Well, I hope they do. I'd like to see them really compete for this division. And by the way, look at the young quarterbacks in this division. You're going to have to deal with Tua, and you're going to deal with Josh Allen for a decade right now.
I mean, what are we doing here? Why?
pointing out something that's very interesting.
Is this the time to point that out? We're trying to take phone calls, and now you just want to dump all over the Jets.
No, I'm not looking to dump. Jeff in Howard Beach. Jeff, you're on the frenzy.
I'm going to need that cut, right? Thanks.
Jeff, go ahead. Hello?
New phones, Dave. Don't fight it.
That's
here
fine.
He is. Here he is.
Do you guys think Brian Flores did the right thing, kicking that field goal instead of going for it on fourth down?
Well, they won the game. Yeah. You don't second guess when you win a game. I don't know. Max right? In Allentown. Max, you're next up on the frenzy.
Is Evan Engram on this team, and are you guys completely done with him?
Well, Evan Engram's really the team, yes. Yeah. Oh, next year. Okay. I think he will be on the team next year, yes.
I think they feel like they can coach him up.
I agree.
Because he's gifted. I mean,
if he wasn't going to be on the team, I think they would have moved him at the deadline. Yes, I think he's going to continue to be on
the team. How many years
are
we going to keep talking about potential from Evan Engram? How many years?
More.
At least one more.
More years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
at least one more year. You have potential. You have potential.
Parcells used to say it just means you hadn't done it yet.
That's right. He hasn't. And every time he makes plays and you get excited, he drops the football.
He looks like Tony Gonzalez compared to Chris Herndon, though, I'll say that.
That's a great point. Different level.
Different level. All right, let's do a little Twitter rapid fire here. More calls roll in, 800-919-3776. Anthony Garrow, I think he's a Cowboys apologist, says, who has more TDs this season, Antonio Brown or Dez Bryant?
Antonio Brown, stop.
Yeah, AB.
Dez Bryant didn't even have a catch yesterday, did he?
And don't disparage Dez Bryant. Now, there's no need to do that.
Well, I think Antonio Brown's going to be
Dez Bryant has a better relationship with a quarterback that throws the ball a little bit better. Like, Lamar Jackson is struggling throwing the football. So.
Brennan,
they're going to get him a legitimate wide receiver.
Yeah, they don't
take
that
next step.
Brennan on Twitter wants to know, who's going to win the NFC East?
Philly.
It's going to be Philly. Yeah. I mean, if Philly wins this week, they almost lock into the NFC East, don't they?
Have some confidence in your team, would you please?
I'm making a statement. It's not confidence or not confidence. If Philly wins this week, they almost walk into the NFC East.
They'd be closing in on it.
They have an absolutely
brutal schedule down the stretch, though.
Yeah, brutal schedule. They're always hurt. They get healthy, then they get hurt. I mean, DeSean Jackson comes back. He gets hurt again. I mean, it's just It's a mess down there. That's what happens when you eat horse poop to celebrate. Bad things happen.
It doesn't go well typically. Rob wants to know, does Golden Tate finish the year on the Giants roster?
Yeah, I think he finishes the year on the roster. I don't know how much burn he's going to get, though.
This is it for him, though. He's not going to be here next year.
This will be the last season in Big Blue for him.
The only reason you do it, I mean, he was trying to get moved. Do we agree on that?
Yes.
Like, that had to be orchestrated
to it very kindly. You still can't do that, though, Rick.
No, I'm not saying it's right. He's paying the price now. He had to get his scout team. He had to pretend to be Terry McLaurin, and they kept him home.
I kind of love what they did to him, though, to be honest.
Embarrassed him.
We can win without you. That's the message that was sent.
We don't win a lot, but we can win without you.
And Austin Mack had a good game, too.
Yeah, he played well. Played well. Birdman JR wants to know, who's the favorite to be the Jets' next head coach?
Eric Bieniemy.
You get Lawrence and Bieniemy, you'd have to be excited.
Of course I'd be excited. You think that Harbaugh ends up coming back to the NFL?
I think he should. They stink.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
I wouldn't
good.
Want any parts of Harbaugh.
I'm not saying for us. I'm just saying in general.
No, I'm just saying
people
in general.
He was once the darling.
If I was an NFL team, I don't know if I would want any parts of him.
In
terms
of
being able to relate to this generation of athlete, I just don't know that that's going to work anymore.
Sean Cloud wants to know, which remaining team on Pittsburgh's schedule gives them their first loss, or do they go undefeated? Now, fortunately for you guys, I prepped ahead, and I brought the schedule up for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, they got Baltimore at home.
Well, that's not yet, though. They have two very winnable games in the Bengals and the Jaguars.
Yeah, he said, which game, though? I'm just telling you, Baltimore at home.
And then Thanksgiving night, when you're full on turkey, they host the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, that'll be
it's gonna
a fun
be a depressing
game.
Thanksgiving.
They're on the road in Buffalo, second week of December.
That's a tough game.
Yeah,
and that might be it.
You got to keep your eye on Cleveland in Week 17.
Yeah, and then
so
I guess
they've in effect got three more games that you have to worry about whether or not they're going to win a game.
But you have to imagine, right, that they're going to be sitting here 10-0 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here looking at their record. At the worst, they're going to be 13-3.
Right.
At the worst.
Right. Now, even if they went undefeated. 16-0, one seed, all that
still
stuff.
Still like Kansas City.
You'd still like
still
Kansas City,
like
right?
Still like Kansas City. Still like them.
Did you see that play they ran yesterday? Did you see Ferrari right yesterday?
What happened?
Did you see that play? It's called Ferrari right? Did you see
what where he's in motion?
Yeah, they put Pat Mahomes in motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he catches it on the run.
Catches it and then spins back to his right. Mm-hmm. It hits the guy wide open in the end
so
zone.
So creative. So creative. Robert Wise wants to know, are the Saints legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Every time I get ready to bury them as contenders, man, they have a performance like they did last night, man. I don't know how we can say that they're not when they're on top of the Bucs in the NFC South the way that they are. I mean, they've got what, two games in hand against the Bucs and one less loss?
Yep. And if you play like that and you're home, it's hard to go against them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
It could have been worse too if Jerry Cook
how Drew Brees is playing, but it's a legit team.
They're a legit team. And it's not like the NFC is as loaded as the AFC. So they have a very, very good chance.
Here we go.
Pete in Monroe. Pete, you're on the frenzy.
Getting rid of Brady when he did to try and get a draft pick now for a quarterback?
No, it was time to move on.
Yeah, it was time to go.
It was just time to go. It's just money-wise, they couldn't put enough talent around Tom Brady.
No, could you imagine Brady on this team now? It would be a disaster.
How many teams in the history of sports can go 20 years without having to retool, you know what I mean, like to have any form of a rebuild?
None.
Nobody.
I mean, the Spurs, right? It happens very infrequently. Allen and Harrison. Allen, you're next up on the frenzy.
Is it time to fire Anthony Lynn?
It's getting close. Getting late early. They keep finding ways to lose games like this.
They lose more heartbreaking games than any team I've ever seen.
Yeah. I would, more I than Atlanta, you would argue with that. Well, Atlanta's figured it out.
Yeah.
I mean, they play hard for that guy.
Look much, much better. And I think this is the question everybody needs answered. We'll end the frenzy on this. Mike Gaffney tweets, did Bart Scott pay off the money yet?
No.
This is getting embarrassing.
No. Hadn't paid the money off yet. I don't know, man. He keeps ducking me like he's owes me trial support or something. I don't understand.
He's got to pay the money.
The Lakers not only got to the NBA Finals, but they won the chip. It's time for him to pay up, man. Yes, he was wrong.
And he's holding the money from the children, from the kids.
Exactly, Dave. It's going to charity.
Tell him to bring me my money.
And you know ESPN's putting plenty of cheese on his taco, too. He's on the TV all the time.
A plentiful taco.
All sorts of cheese on that taco. It's almost like a gordita at this point.
All right, Santi. And that's the end of what I thought was a very well-done frenzy under extenuating circumstances.
Hey, DJ and Dave, tell me if this is good.
Yeah.
I need to ask you this question. Where did it just go? Come on, man. That was a good question. Let me find it. Talk for a second. I'll find it.
All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you about ESPN Daily. Today on ESPN Daily, the NFL's regular season is more than halfway through. Bill Barnwell joins the show to discuss his midseason awards and how the Steelers managed to continue to stay undefeated. On ESPN Daily, subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. You need another read, or you're ready?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
So the Patriots are favored by 10 points.
Yes.
Right? The Patriots now have a 71% chance to win, which is amazing to me. I mean, if you're ever going to beat the Patriots, now feels like the time to do it. The Jets are 1-9 against the spread on more than 6 days rest since 2017. 1-4 under Adam Gase. Shouldn't you be better with more time off?
Yes.
You'd imagine.
But how is that degen, Dave?
Oh, just against the spread
stuff. You just wanted to get that in there.
No, it's against the spread stuff. It's gambling stuff.
No.
I mean, Canty's not a big-time gambler. I mean, you're the guy. You're the guy who did a show in Vegas and actually had to leave to go. I mean, they had to find you at the tables.
I was red hot, too. I know you ever have like one of those moments where it's all clicking. They're like, come on, we're back in 90 seconds. Like, uh-uh.
No, you can't leave that.
I was like, I can't.
I respect
I had 12s against a 7 and I'm pulling a 9. Like beautiful stuff.
I would have loved to have known you back then, Dave.
It was trouble.
I don't know if we could hang with him, Canty. Some of the stuff he tells us, I don't even know if we could hang with him.
It would have been fun trying to find out.
I went to Vegas for 3 nights and slept a grand total of 6.5 hours.
I feel like that's high. I would expect less sleep from you.
Six in 3 nights?
Yeah.
That's
a lot for you.
Nah, I'm impressed, Dave. I'm impressed.
We
72
doing?
Hours and you only talk about 6.5 hours of sleep?
Yeah.
Were you napping at the tables?
No, I would go back to the room at like 2, you know, and then 5, be back right back there.
Did you go outside at all? Or you just go straight from the room
and the thing
to
is, I'm not one of these like, oh, let's see a show, right? Let's go out for a 5-star meal.
You know why you're going there. You know why you're landing at McCarran Airport.
I want to gamble. I want to get in the sports book. I want to be in the casino. I want to have a quick quick sandwich and right back at it. I'm not looking for a steak. I'm not looking for you know, any people tumbling off of a high wire. I don't want any of that.
Quick sandwich?
I want a turkey sandwich on rye, and I want to get right back in the casino.
I mean, don't you have to kind of, I mean, you have to sprinkle in Cirque du Soleil, don't you? Like
no.
Once? No?
No.
But they jump down into the water. It's awesome.
Yeah, but I don't
There's
want
another
any,
kind
I
of performance
wanna,
that I would like to sprinkle in a Vegas trip, Rico.
Yeah,
it's not Cirque
du
Soleil.
They kind of do the same kind of stuff. That's prerequisite. That's why 11 is so nice, because you get a mix of both. You get a little Cirque du Soleil. It's like the ultimate hybrid.
We want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com or find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, hey, play 98.7 ESPN. And 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Now, I've mentioned this before, but it's so exciting, it's worth mentioning again. It's the Michael Kay Show's 2020 contest, and it continues today at 3 o'clock. The Kay Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game over the years, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little bit more enjoyable. They're going to play a clip of someone that's been on their show, and they're very easy. It was Coughlin, it was Bill Parcells, I mean, really simplistic stuff.
Jeter.
You call with the correct answer. Who else was it?
I think it was Jeter, one of them.
I mean, like they're giving. This is not a contest. This is a giveaway is what it is.
That's exactly what we like.
Right? So today the guys are giving away $1,000 in cash. It's a lot of money.
Wouldn't you just rather the cash, though, in all honesty? Like, would you have a present or cash?
Cash.
Cash.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
Nothing
you?
Nothing makes me feel better than fresh cash, Rico.
$1,000, that's real money.
That's real money. Especially like when you tell somebody, like when they ask you, like when my mom's like, when Mickey's like, you know, what can I get you? And I'm like, I don't want anything. Please don't get me anything. And then she decides to get me something.
Yeah, but I understand. She's not going to give you cash. That's weird.
Just don't give me anything then.
No, but she's your mom. She wants to get your present.
Yeah, but she just lights money on fire. She just buys me things that I just know.
You know what would be nice? Because she's not going to give you cash. I think it's awkward. If she gave you like a gift card to your favorite restaurant, I think that'd be nice.
Yeah, something like that would be nice.
Bottle of wine.
Bottle of wine would be nice.
Yeah,
some cologne, because I wear cologne. I mean, she could bake me some biscottis. I love her biscottis. Something like that.
That's not a
she gives me like some teeth.
Your mom's not going to bake you biscottis for a big present.
Why not? It's a delicious present. I love her biscottis.
No.
Instead, she gives me some like teeth whitening thing, which is like almost offensive. Like, what are you saying?
Telling you something.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Not only did I tell you not to get anything, then you insult me with your present.
That's right. Here's a hair growth kit. I'm just saying.
Yeah, at that point, that's not even passive aggressive. That's just aggressive.
That's just aggressive. Exactly. All right, the 20 for 20 contest brought to you by PC Rich and Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. All right, guys, we do this every week. We're back to analyzing the Jets. Chris, backup quarterback, no Quinnen Williams. You got your three receivers there tonight. Game, of course, starts at 6:20 here on 98.7 ESPN. How do the Jets keep this game close? How do the Jets compete in this one?
Well, I think they're going to have to be aggressive with the play calling, Dave, and just try to take shots on this Patriots defense early and often. Joe Flacco has a huge arm. We'd like to see it with Breshad Perriman now in the lineup with Mims and Crowder. There should be opportunities because the Patriots have the fewest quarterback hits in the National Football League at 29, but they do have the second-rated pass defense in terms of yards allowed, and so that's part of the conundrum in terms of trying to understand how they slow people down. Bill Belichick does it a lot with the different looks, the different coverages that those guys on the back end present. So I think it's good to have Joe Flacco, a steady hand, veteran quarterback, to be able to pick and choose opportunities to take some shots, but without getting some explosives, some chunk plays, it's going to be hard for the Jets to stay in this game against the Pats.
The interior offensive line is going to be huge because you know exactly where Joe Flacco is going to be. And you mentioned the Patriots don't put a ton of pressure on the quarterback. They only got 10 sacks this season, which is with 29 in the NFL, which is nothing. But, I mean, you'll be able to run the football. I would like to see more of LaMichael Perine, if we could. And to Canty's point, empty the bag of tricks. This is Monday night. I mean, if you're going to beat the Patriots, this is the time to beat the Patriots. Just leave it out on the field. All of it out on the field and let the chips fall where they may. But, so, I mean, this is an opportunity to beat a Patriots team that's struggling.
Do you look at this game realistically, Rick, and say, fourth quarter, 12 minutes to go, we have a chance? Or is this going to be fourth quarter, 12 minutes to go, 23-6, and just ride out the stretch?
There is no reason not to have a chance in this football game. The Patriots turn the football over. And the other thing that they don't do very well is throw the football.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can stop the run, which they actually did against the Kansas City Chiefs, then you're going to have a chance in this game.
Yeah, and to Rick's point, Cam Newton hasn't thrown for over 200 yards since week two in Seattle. So I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring affair from either team. I think it's going to be a close ball game. And having a chance to talk to Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots beat for ESPN, he said that they've been preaching ball security all week for this team because they don't want to have what happened at the end of the Buffalo game. They don't want Cam Newton to turn the ball over. So he imagines that it's going to be a more conservative game plan offensively, which means them running the football more than they did in Buffalo, and they had 34 rushes for 188 yards. So I think the Patriots are going to try to ground and pound, shorten the game, and just get out of here with the win no matter how it looks. To me, that lends itself to the Jets making it a fourth quarter game, and at that point, anything can happen.
This is a perfect opportunity, Dave. No one thinks that the Jets can go in and win this game. And
the 10-point underdogs at home. You're right. Nobody thinks they can go in and win
this game. I think is disrespectful. I mean, the Jets haven't been good, but neither have the Patriots.
But nobody's trying to give or take respect. They're giving what the number calls for.
I understand.
Right now, to put even money on each side, you have to have the number at 10.
Okay, which is fine. And that's when you look at it that way, you're right. But if I'm inside the Jets locker room, and there's plenty of people watching. We found that out.
It's just unbelievable.
It's apparently where all the poll watchers are. But that's disrespectful, man. I would look at that 10 and I would be pissed. This is not a great Patriots team. This is an opportunity on national television with as bad as you've been to beat a team that's owned you.
You really want this game? Like
I want
are
this
you
game
desperate
bad.
For this?
I want this game bad, yeah. Because if not now, when?
If it means you don't get Trevor Lawrence by winning this game?
Well, don't put me in that situation.
No,
yeah,
but I think
exactly.
that's a fair question.
I was wondering.
No, I don't want it that bad.
So if I told you Jacksonville's going to lose out, you would say, you know what, just give me the loss then tonight.
I'll take the L, yeah. I'll wear it.
You'll wear the L.
I'll wear the L. I mean, I have the entire season. Why not now?
Right.
What's the difference? But, I mean, this is a game. If you're inside that locker room, because they don't – I mean, they could care less about getting Trevor Lawrence. This it should piss you off that you're a 10-point dog at home. against this version of the Patriots.
Right.
This
well,
is
you
the
haven't
worst.
Proven that you could beat any NFL team, and we're already in week 9.
Chris, yeah, you almost practice haven't shown so well. You can compete with an NFL team
but
in
Chris,
week 9.
But, Chris, we practice so well. You should see us
Who
practice.
Who gives a damn about practice? Allen Iverson said we're talking about practice. Who cares?
So practices are so crisp.
But you talk about beat. They haven't competed. I mean, their best performances. Have they had a game that's ended within 7 points?
Within seven?
What was the Broncos
no.
score? 37-29?
No, 28-37.
Right. No. 37, yeah, so that's 9. And then you had the 8-point loss game. To the Bills, 18-10, right?
Yeah, that
so
was
your
it.
Your closest margin of loss was by 8 points. And we're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
No, I mean,
it's incredible.
You got a team that hasn't, I mean, that's dealt with injuries on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, traded away their best defensive player. Their other best defensive player opted out. You've traded, I mean, whoever you could trade, you've traded. And on top of it, you're not well coached.
Right.
But what do you expect to have happen?
This is really amazing, though. I'm sitting here looking at these scores from the Jets games. They've scored over 13 points only twice this season.
They're twice. Averaging under 12 points a game, Chris.
This is unbelievable.
It really unbelievable. Is.
I mean, I don't know how you do that.
Well, wow,
they've scored 19 points.
This is a historically bad team. This is a historically bad team. I think that's the best way to frame it. This is a historically bad team. We will put them there with the first season of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 2008 Lions.
That was a team they've
never played before. The 2017 Browns. That is going to be the 2020 Jets. They will live in infamy with those three other teams. No
they've
question.
Scored, they've gone 10 points, 0 points, 10 points, 9 points. Ugh. The last four games. Yeah.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
It is. But, hey, at least they didn't make matters worse by trying to, you know, stick Sam Darnold out there hurt. I mean, well, that is
baby
one
steps.
Positive.
Couldn't
that
practice.
Is one positive.
Yeah, playing. Oh, I mean, you think,
well,
you
it didn't make quarter? Sense, too, though, Rico, right? You got the bye week coming up. So if the kid is nicked up a little bit and it's on the fence, you would err on the side of caution. You give him 2 weeks to get fully healed and then come back in that game against the Chargers. There's no reason to push it.
None.
That'll be a battle, huh? Can the Chargers find a way to blow that game?
No.
They better not.
Not even the Chargers. If that happens, they're going to fire Anthony Lynn immediately.
Can you imagine that? Losing that
no,
one?
No, I couldn't, Dave.
No.
I don't
no,
want to
you,
imagine.
You really can't.
Because I think Anthony Lynn is actually a good coach, unlike Adam Gase.
How much coaching is
I hope he gets
doing?
Another opportunity.
To stay there in L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see him get an opportunity. If they win some games down the stretch, then I think they'll bring him back. But even if he does get fired after this season, I hope he gets another opportunity to be a head coach in this league because he's a good coach.
He is a good coach. It's amazing what they've done in key moments this year. What are they're 2-6, right?
Yeah, they're 2-6.
They
two
could
and
easily
six.
Be 6-2.
Yeah.
I mean, easily.
Yeah, a lot of close losses, man.
And
I still go back to that Broncos game a couple of weeks ago. How did they lose that game?
How about yesterday? I mean, they had two shots from the five. They go up and down the field.
But the Raiders were in control for the most part in that game. The Raiders were up on them the entire time. I mean, in the Broncos game, I want to say the Chargers had a double-digit lead.
They did.
I think it was well more than that.
Yeah. They had a 24-3 lead.
Yeah.
That's three possessions.
Against a bad team.
Yeah.
It really is.
Sometimes it gets in your head. You have to imagine it's in their head at this point, though. Like, what unique way are we going to try to lose this game today?
Got to be.
They got a bunch of winnable games, though. I mean, they're Miami's
they should
tough.
Be. That's a playoff team. The way they've played, they should be in the playoffs.
What do you think they're concerned about, though, at this point?
The development of their quarterback.
The development
looks
just
terrific, by the way. Oh,
he looks great.
He really is something.
And he made two great throws. I mean, those last two throws were great throws.
Yeah. Why are you going to the third string tight end on the last one?
What do you mean? He made a perfect throw. The guy had it.
Yeah, that's a great throw.
I mean, if that was an interception in the Baltimore game, that wasn't a catch?
Great point.
Not much different.
I will never get over that was an interception. It was no close to a catch.
How about your boy Al Riveron trying to explain it, too?
I didn't have the audio on that. What did he say?
Oh, just say that it was clear.
It was clearly an interception?
Clearly an interception.
You know what was more embarrassing than calling that an interception? Philip Rivers trying to tackle Chuck Clark.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. He didn't even try.
No.
But don't worry.
Corey Barton-Hunter on the way in just a moment. The schedule today, they're going to take you from 12 to 1, and Rex Ryan will, of course, be on their show. Greeny at 1. I'm sure he's all hyped up for the Jets tonight. Max Kellerman at 2. Michael Kay Show starts at 3. Steve Young's going to be on with the guys at 5. And then at 6:20 tonight, it's the Jets countdown to kickoff. And, of course, you can watch the game on ESPN television at 8:15, Jets Patriots Monday Night Football. So give me a final score, Rick. What do we have here? I'm going to write this down.
Final score, I am going to give you, Jets score more points than usual today. I'm going to give you 24-17 Patriots.
Okay. Chris, where are you going?
I'm close. I got a 24-13 Patriots.
All right. I'm gonna go 27-10. I don't think it's as close as everybody
thinks.
Listen, I got to be honest.
You pick the Jets? You 27-10 Jets?
Yeah, I think the Jets win big. No, of course I don't pick the Jets. Stop. All right, Barton Hahn in their normal 12 o'clock slot. For us, it's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO, Canty Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7.
DCR is DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.